I suspect if you're like me, sometimes your wife or someone else may actually take your bag of popcorn. And so we're going to give you two. So that way there's one to give away and then one for you. And Pastor Alex, so that everybody knows, we're not at Life Church this morning. And but I must say, for being in my early 60s now, it is so refreshing to see someone in their early 20s make such a slip. And so you're not Life Church. That's in Roscoe. Matter of fact, that's where Pastor Alex came from. So it's easy to make such a slip. And also, this past week was our kids' breakaway camp. On the screen, you'll see some of the kids that were there at breakaway camp this past week. They left Monday, got back on Friday afternoon. This year, there's 2 weeks of camp this past week, and then this week, the first week of camp, there were over 950 kids there. And I'm sure there will be somewhere around that number as well. So for Lord Uberstein, for Amanda, Pastor Amanda Davis, who went and hopefully able to rest up a little bit at this point, I'm so thankful that they are at kids camp and I'm not at kids camp, but I'm at home praying for them. The next round of camps will be breakaway teen camp. That will be taking place in July. We will be asking you in advance to pray for that as you did for kids camp, but they had a safe journey. They had a great week. The kids were spiritually impacted. So thank you for your prayers. And for some of you, I know that you came along to help support a camper to be able to go. You made it possible. So again, thank you so much for that. Well, the text for today's message is only three verses. I'm going to read it from you from the translation that I normally preach from, the NIV, and then I'm going to read it to you from the Message paraphrase of the Bible. If you want to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, we'll be in the 11th chapter, the last three verses there, verses 28, 29, and 30. Again, Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. Hear the words of Jesus. One of the great invitations of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this won't be on the screen, but listen to it from the Message paraphrase of the Bible. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your rest. I will show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. It was 2015 as spring was turning into summer, much the same time of year it is right now. And for the first time in my life, I found myself totally exhausted. It was a weariness of body, mind, and spirit that a good night's sleep or a few days off would not remedy. You see, I'm a type A personality. If you know me well, you know that that's my personality type. And I've always thought throughout my ministry that 40 hours was a minimum, and when that happened, it was a very light week. While many pastors in mainline churches are encouraged or even required to take a sabbatical every 7 years of 3 months, sometimes even longer, I had served this church at that time for 23 years and had rarely been away more than a week at a time, except on foreign missions trips. I had given and given I still remember the day that it all sort of hit me in my office. I thought, I just can't give any more. In desperation, I decided that what I was going to do was try to throw together a sabbatical plan, to try to come up with a plan. And I made some phone calls. I looked at the church calendar, and there was so much that was there. There were family considerations. There were ministry obligations. There were weddings that I was committed to performing. You know, the church council in previous years had discussed a sabbatical on a couple occasions, and I had pretty much dismissed the idea, saying, I just have too much to do. I just don't think I can get away right now. Maybe someday. I wished I had listened to them. You know, since I could not manage a sabbatical, I decided to do a couple of things to get through my season of depletion, and that's probably the best way to describe it. First, the words of Jesus in our text that I read for you from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30, along with other scriptures that speak of rest and renewal, literally became a lifeline to me. Also, Wayne Cordero, a well-known Foursquare pastor who suffered a complete mental and physical breakdown and wrote a book about it, Leading on Empty, helped me tremendously. I set some boundaries on my schedules and cleared some things off of my calendar. I took 2 weeks away, and then I worked with the church council to plan a sabbatical, which I took in 2016. And I can say a few things refreshed me as much as that summer of away. As a matter of fact, it was very difficult to unplug. The church council really did their job, by the way. They set down so many guidelines for that time away. I was not allowed to preach anywhere. I was not allowed to teach anywhere. I was not allowed to call the church or the staff. I was to get no offering reports. They also took away my cell phone and gave me a different number, so no one was able to contact me. And I remember I found myself in Florida in a situation where my mom's pastor fell suddenly ill, and they contacted me and asked if I would preach at the church there in the Tampa Bay area. And I remember calling Steve Weichel, who's now moved to Florida himself, and I said, hey, this opportunity's come up. It's not going to be stressful for me, but it's going to greatly help them because they're in a pinch. A staff member was away, and so he reluctantly agreed to that. And then about a week before my sabbatical was over, I decided to call Pastor John. And I said, Pastor John, I'll be home in a week. Just want to get a jump on some things. And he acted really strange to me on the phone. Well, Steve had stopped by the church office to check on the staff and how everything was going, and he heard my phone call come in. And I got a text from Steve in about 10 minutes saying, you know, we don't want to interrupt what God's doing in your life. Your sabbatical is not over for a full week. It was a very sort of a very soft chastisement that I had, and at first it stung a little bit, but later I thanked Steve for following through on everything. You know, we all need times of rest. There have been other times in my life that I felt weary of mind and spirit and body, but no time like what I described to you in 2015. You know, over the past 2 months, we have looked at great breakthroughs in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. This morning we're going to unpack this great invitation of Jesus as we consider a breakthrough that we all need, and it may be the breakthrough you need the most, and that is a breakthrough of rest. Now, that doesn't mean I want you to fall asleep this morning in the service. This is a little bit after service time, but a breakthrough of rest. What I will share with you really has two parts. The first is this: 3 requirements for rest. Jesus shared 3 things that we must do, steps that we must take in order to experience the rest that he gives. This is your part. This is my part. First, you must come. Verse 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And we must come as we are, weary. Weary means a weariness as though one had been beaten. We probably said, and you have said at some point in your life, I'm just beat or I am spent. That's what it means to be weary. This weariness is brought on by work, by exertion, or by heat. This word in the Greek is best used to describe the severe exhaustion of a soldier in battle or a messenger who has run several miles to deliver a message. Another word for weary is tired. In one of his books, Pastor Charles Blair tells the story of leaving the church parking lot on a particularly demanding day. As he turned onto the street, he caught the sight of a woman sitting at a bus stop, and she was weeping. So he circled the block, came back and parked his car and made his way to her. Introducing himself, he asked her, "Are you all right?" His concern obviously embarrassed her as she hastily tried to dry her tears, and she said, "Yes, I'm fine. Just tired. That's all. Really tired." Have you ever been there before? Maybe you're there right now. But you must come to him as you are, not only weary, but burdened. Now, if you have before you the King James or the New King James Version or some other translation, it says that those who are heavy laden. This means to be loaded down. That's what this word means. It's just to be loaded down. It pictures a ship or an animal heavily burdened by a great weight and, again, overloaded. Jesus used this word to describe the hypocritical religious leaders of his day in Matthew chapter 23, verse 4, where he said, "They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to help them." To be burdened is to be overwhelmed. Even the Apostle Paul, as we saw last week, there were times in his ministry when he was overwhelmed by life and ministry and the circumstances of his life. So, first of all, our part is that we must come. Secondly, we must take. Verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you." Now, when we move from coming to him to taking from him, we're moving now into a deeper experience with the Lord. What did Jesus mean by yoke? What is a yoke? Well, a yoke is a farming tool. It's an instrument that binds the ox to the plow or two farming animals together. In Jesus' day, yoke also could be used to describe someone coming under another person's leadership or walking in another person's footsteps. On the pulpit of my home church in Kansas City, I'm sure it's not there now, they've built since that time, but engraved in the pulpit was, "Walk even as he walked," from 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. So that's what it means to come to him, to come under his leadership. So when Jesus said in verse 30, "My yoke is easy," it means what he gives us is not ill-fitting. When he said, "My burden is light," it means that he's going to carry the heavy end. We become weary and we become burdened when we insist on carrying the heavy end ourselves. It's possible to have added burdens, but amazing inner rest when the Lord does the hard work, when we trust in him with all of our hearts, when we cast all of our cares upon him, when we take his yoke. The yoke is also a symbol of control. When you are yoked to Jesus, you are controlled by him. He's never going to oppress you. He's never going to lay a burden too heavy for you to carry. You may feel at times like that's the case, but oftentimes we lay burdens upon ourselves. We take things upon ourselves that he's not asking us to take. The third thing that we see in verse 29 is that we must learn from him. Learn from him. The first two commands represent a crisis. We come to him. We take from him. So it's crisis. Oftentimes it leads us to this place. As it was a crisis, it led me to try to put together a quick sabbatical and then to plan a sabbatical the next year and to take some steps to restore. So this is really we come to him in these crises. And sometimes even in our Christian life, that's when we come to him. That's when we take a rest. We wait till we are absolutely exhausted. We wait till we are absolutely burdened and we can't go on, so we come to him. However, when we learn, it speaks more of a process. As we learn more about him, we have greater and deeper peace in him because we are trusting in him. We must not only learn, but we must unlearn patterns that have brought us to that particular place. You know, there was a season, sort of a lengthy season in ministry that I felt like every opportunity that came my way, whatever committee I might be asked to serve on, whatever I might be elected to serve, I just thought it was automatically the will of God. And what happened is just one thing piled on top of another, and all of the yeses began to weigh upon me, and I had to unlearn those patterns. I had to say, no, I'm sorry, my name's not going to go forward. You know, I'll pray about serving on that committee, and it's okay to say no. It's okay to say no. I've shared with those on staff. I had a professor in college who said the most important word that you will ever learn to say is the word no. You can't say yes to everything. And I was saying yes to everything, and I was overwhelmed by that. I had to unlearn that. I had to set some boundaries on my life. I had to make a decision that my involvement outside of pastoral ministry was going to be limited to certain areas and certain assignments, that every need did not constitute my call to it. Sometimes we think if there's a need, it must constitute the call. Maybe not for you, maybe for someone else. May we not be like the people in Jeremiah's day. Listen to what the Lord said to them through his prophet in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find, listen to this, rest for your souls. There's that same phrase in Jeremiah. But you said, we will not walk in it. Jesus invites us to come, and the word there literally means come right now. Come right now. Come without delay. Don't postpone, but come to me right now. Next, we must take his yoke. Not the yoke that we place upon ourselves or the yoke we allow other people to place upon ourselves, but we must take his yoke. And finally, we are to learn. These are the keys to discovering rest and renewal and restoration. I'm sure not everyone is at this point today, but maybe you have been or you will be and someday will need this. Well, what's the results of the rest that he gives? The first is this: you discover who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. Not that you don't know that he is Savior, that he died upon the cross for you. Not that you don't know that he is the Lord. Not that you're not aware of the fact that he's worthy of praise and worthy of worship. But you learn a side of Jesus that perhaps you have not yet known or discovered. Verse 29, I am gentle and humble in heart. The word translated gentle comes from a word in the original language that means mild, friendly, or pleasant. Humble means to be bowed down, small, insignificant in comparison to something else. In the Old Testament, it describes the posture of a righteous person before God. You see, when you come to Jesus, he doesn't give you another command to obey. He doesn't give you another job that you must do. That's not the context here. Now, that was true of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders of his day. When you read beyond here and move into chapter 12, Jesus tackles some issues about the Sabbath. Not the Sabbath that the Lord gave, but the Sabbath that the religious leaders had loaded down with all kinds of other rules and regulations that had literally made the Sabbath a burden to the people. He doesn't come to you and talk about being more religious, but about an intimate relationship with Him. If you find that Christianity exhausts you, draining you of your energy, then you are practicing religion rather than enjoying a relationship. Jesus said that a relationship with Him would bring rest to your souls. So you discover who Jesus is. He's gentle and humble. And second, you discover what Jesus gives. We're so thankful He gives forgiveness. We're so thankful that He forgives our sins. We're so thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. But there's more. I will give you rest. Rest. Verse 29, it's a little worded a little bit different there, and I want you to note the difference. Verse 28, I will give you rest. Verse 29, you will find rest. You see, verse 28 is about obtaining rest. Verse 29 is about maintaining rest. Sometimes we do well with verse 28. We become so exhausted, so tired, so weary. Let's get away. Let's just spend some time with God. You obtain rest, but then you don't maintain rest. To rest means to cause to stop. It means to put an end to something. By and large, Christians today have abandoned the Sabbath. We think of it as Old Testament, as Old Covenant. Certainly it's not for today. But is that true? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think we see in the New Testament a new Sabbath principle for the people of God. Matter of fact, in the future, I hope to bring a short sermon series on the Sabbath and how it blesses us today and how we neglect it at our own peril. It's hard for me to believe that the wisdom of the Old Testament commandments suddenly evaporated the moment the new covenant came into being. It's hard for me to believe that we are to obey only 9 of the 10 commandments and we set aside the Sabbath principle. So at some time, I'm not sure exactly when that will be, but sometime in the future, it's percolating. A couple messages I want to bring upon the Sabbath principle. Now the truth is, it's possible to find rest only to return to burning the candles at both ends. At both ends. Back to the sabbatical that I took in the summer of 2016. Honestly, it took me 2 weeks or more just to realize no one was going to be calling me except my own daughters. That's all. No one's going to reach out to me. And they had even defined what an emergency was going to look like, when I would have to return. We had an elder's wife who had cancer at that time. She passed away after I got back, but it was decided that they would fly me back if she passed away while I was away on sabbatical. There was no one needing me. There was no sermon to prepare. For the first time, I was not on call. As a pastor, you're on call 24/7, and for the first time, I was not on call. Honestly, I nearly had withdrawal symptoms from all of that, and suddenly, I began to experience rest. I remember when it came, a foundation provided us a home. Just an awful place, Anna Maria Island, Florida. It was really, really rough to spend a couple weeks on Anna Maria Island. Florida, but it was there at the ocean's edge in a beautiful home that even had a swimming pool, and we didn't have to pay anything for it, and that I really began to experience rest. And it was at that time that I really made some life-changing decisions as far as the commitments that I would make and the things that I would do, and I could not be everything to everyone. I had to delegate even more. I always thought I was a good delegator, but delegate even more. And there was just a renewal that took place. My friend, it's not God's will for you to burn the candle at both ends. That doesn't mean there may not be seasons of stress. It doesn't mean that there may not be seasons where you've got a, you know, maybe a project that's got to be done. That can so easily move into a lifestyle. Could it be we should pray about how we use our time and pray before we make major commitments in our life? Could it be that we need to get some margin back into our lives and some margin back into our schedules? Could it be that we should place some limits on our gadgets and screen time? Now, I knew it was going to get real quiet when I heard that. Have you seen how they have intruded into our lives? Intruded into our lives? Did you know the average person touches their smartphone screen at the low end, 2,617 times a day? That's the low end. That's the low end. That comes out to almost a million times a year. It can be refreshing sometimes just to lay that thing down, just to mute that thing, just to disable that thing, because there are people, and not just people out in the world, but people in the church that are absolutely addicted to their phones. Who would have ever thought that we would be addicted to our phones? Don't you, people my age, a little younger than me, don't you miss the day of hearing the phone ring in your house? Coming back and you've got the answering machine to listen to when you want to. Now, I'm thankful, don't get me wrong, I'm thankful for my smartphone. I'm thankful for all that I'm able to find, and I can have my Bible on there and different translations on there. There's a lot that it has to offer, but there's also a bad side. There is a downside to all of that. Sometimes we just need time away from all of that. Imagine if of those 2,617 times a day, we touch God's word just a few more times than what we do. We just looked at it a little bit more than what we do. You know, my grandmother used to say something that I thought was in the Bible. I really thought it was because she said it. My good godly Methodist grandmother, she would tell me, "Stephen, cleanliness is next to godliness." I thought it was there, and I discovered it wasn't. Now that I'm older, I wish it was there. Why couldn't that be in the Bible? But today I want you to know it's different. Today you would think that busyness is next to godliness, that going all day and all evening and all night, that burning the candle at both ends by committing ourselves to anything and everything, by having gadgets with us all the time, that somehow that was godliness. Perhaps today, the greatest breakthrough you need in your life is not some that we have looked at this last 2 months in this series, but maybe for you today, the breakthrough that you need is simply rest. And not just a quick rest to resume the life that you lived, the race that you were running, but that you will enter into a more healthy rhythm of life. There is a rhythm of rest and work and play and relationships, but to restore some kind of sanity to your life and your schedule. I want you to know it will not just happen. It's got to be intentionality. You've got to come to Him. You've got to take what He has to give. You've got to learn from Him. You know, as we close, I want you to just close your eyes for just a moment, if you would. And I want you to listen again to these words of Jesus. How do they apply to you What do they speak to you? What might he be trying to say to you today? Listen to them. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will, not might, you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Father, I thank you for this great invitation of Jesus. And I know right now that this entire message may not necessarily apply to every single person at this particular moment in their lives, but like me, it probably did at one time and likely will again. We will need this invitation because it's not a one-time experience. It's a continual coming to you, taking from you, and learning from you. But I would especially pray for those that are in this service this morning, they're watching this service online, that perhaps they are at that point of exhaustion, depletion. Lord, they're at that place where they are burned out and just constantly weary in body, heart, mind, and spirit. Lord, that they will not only hear, but they will heed this invitation, that they will come, that they will take, that they will learn. Lord, that they will not only just obtain rest, but Lord, that they will maintain that rest, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, that they will be able to maintain that rest as they learn the new rhythms of grace that you want to teach them. You know, the greatest way that we find rest is rest for our souls. Rest for our souls. Have you found rest for your soul? The only place you find rest for your soul is in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you taken that step? You cannot truly have rest until you know your sins are forgiven. You cannot truly have rest until you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So if that's you or you're watching online, I invite you to join with us as we pray just a prayer to receive Christ, to receive His forgiveness. Would you join me? Lord, I here and now repent and believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that you died for me as my substitute and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking my place and paying my sin debt in full. I ask for your forgiveness. I now receive you into my heart as my Savior and Lord. Jesus Christ now lives in me. I am a new creation in Christ. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time on the screen, you'll see a booklet. It's available at the welcome table. It's also at the various exits. If you would please pick that up, it will help you as you begin your Christian life. Again, happy Father's Day to all the dads, all the men. The popcorn, you can take that whether you're